Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 561, the not box office report, just straight up not box office report, for the week ending 3/22/20. And I guess I should say one of us is broadcasting from that location.
Yeah. I'm in a radioactive bunker.
What? Yes, you are.
I'm at my house. I don't.
Yeah. It's, you need a catchy name.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I don't have one. That's the problem. That's.
Wait a minute. Now, hold on. When you do Patreon, you have a fancy little intro. What do you say?
That's from like the south side of St. Louis. That's as. That's as far as I can get you. I'm not very creative.
Right. Oh. Yeah. There's nothing fancy about the south side of St. Louis.
That's, no. There's nothing at all. It's,
yeah. Especially now that you can't go outside.
Oh my God. Well, some of us still have to work, so, you know.
Same.
Yeah.
So, we should go around the virtual table, and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And so, of course, we are in the middle of a global pandemic, but that won't stop us from foisting our personalities upon you.
Delivering free funny.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we're not together. We are honoring the social distancing. Normally, it's just emotional, but but we're doing it physically now too. So we are all at our homes, talking via the magic of Skype-a-phone. It's weird that we recently changed the name to not necessarily the box office report, and then the box office took it seriously.
Yeah. Huh?
And just shut down.
They said that podcast is so popular, we just have to follow suit with what they're doing.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I think we hurt their feelings.
What a weird time we are in, gentlemen. Like, this is very odd. Has this ever happened? Like, where theaters have been like, you know what? Or not even theaters, but I guess Hollywood has said,
no,
we're going to pull our stuff.
No, I mean, even during World War II, the Great Depression, I mean, it was like Hollywood produced films because America still needed to escape. And,
right.
now they can't even do that for good reason. Like, I'm not complaining about it, but no, this is historically unprecedented.
I don't even like the fact that Hollywood has said we're pulling everything. It makes me think that this was a plan the entire time to try out the digital first.
Oh my God.
Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. He also has toothpaste to sell you.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to be known for the people that thought Hollywood invented the.
No, I really don't think though. But I do think the timing is just like, well.
This is terrible circumstances, but given that this is the opportunity, they've been waiting for some kind of opportunity to test it, and so they're getting it.
Yeah, they're getting it. And
there's never been a better time in history to be quarantined. I'll give you that.
That's true. You have everything is at your fingertips.
Yeah. I mean,
it's impossible to be bored.
Unless you're in Europe and they're just like, hey, we're going to slow the internet down.
But it's still there.
It is still there. That's true.
And
and I don't think there's very many people that, like, I've certainly, you know, weaned out my DVDs and Blu-rays, but if they completely said no more Netflix, I still have plenty of physical media that I could entertain myself with.
Could they do that? Could they say Netflix, we're turning off the Netflix?
Sure.
I mean,
my good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're in, I think that's part of why we don't have a federally mandated quarantine right now, is I think they're not sure if they have the power to do it.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And, you know, it's easier to get away with on a local level than it is on a national level.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it's hitting some areas harder than others, and the areas that aren't being hit hard are like, what's the big deal? So check back in 10 days, area that's not being hit hard.
St. Louis. Because,
yeah, because, like, that tends to be the pattern. Like, nobody – it's weird. It's like Chicken Little, except there's, like, 100 other Chicken Littles you're watching it happen to, and then the current Chicken Little is going, but I'm okay.
Yeah, so. Right. It's,
you know, but at least St. Louis had the foresight to do what New York and California are doing. Like, it hasn't even gotten that bad here that we know of, but New York and California, like, they have more cases and obviously more people gather there. And so at least the mayors of St. Louis City and St. Louis County, you know, took that initiative and said, hey, we're going to do the same thing here before it gets bad. That was pretty smart.
Which is something you never thought you'd say about the mayors of St. Louis City and St. Louis County.
Right.
Yeah. That's,
well, I do think part of the problem you're seeing, though, is that it's very red blue, and that the Republican leaders are still kind of in the mindset of, like, you know,
it's just the flu.
Yeah. And so you're even seeing it locally, right? Like, right now, St. Louis City and St. Louis County, which are controlled, which have Democratic elected officials in office, are like, we should have a stay at home order. And St. Charles County, which is a very large county for people that are listening, and they're like, no, I think we're good.
Oh, is that right?
And so, yeah, like, they have not issued that same stay at home thing. They did the thing with restaurants and no dine in and carry out only, but they have not followed suit with the stay at home order. So, because they're like, well, we've only got two cases here. And I'm like, you're literally adjacent to St. Louis County. Like, what? Why do you think that magically protects you? But I don't know.
There's a secret barrier that protects St. Charles County from the Rona.
Yes. I've always said St. Charles is the patron saint of white flight.
Yeah.
And and so, like, that's very kind true. Of. But to put it in perspective, I think, like, St. Louis City has, like, 311,000 people in it. St. Charles County has 380,000 people
right.
in it.
So, right. Like, it's not a small part of town.
Right. So, yeah, I'm just trying to convey to our non-local listeners, like, the size.
Sure.
When they hear county, they might just be like, well, it's just a little thing. Like, no, it's not a little thing. It's a huge swath of the St. Louis metropolitan area. So,
right.
But anyway, back to movies.
Yeah.
Man, before that, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And, of course, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. And you can also share a show in real life. And then if your privacy settings are configured accordingly, we will read your name. So people who were kind enough to share the episode during a global pandemic, that's pretty awesome.
It's very nice of them.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ralph Tribble, Linnea Thunsell, Tammy Sherman Powers, Carl Clarkson, Gabriel Lugo, Susan Carlson, Brent Smith, Tom Comiskey, Ron Johnson, Chris Williams, Griffin Fox Smith, Travis Tewitt, Timmy Tuzoons, Chris Sanders, Chris Magic Man, Julianne Jordan, Samuel Banks, Dustin.
Is that a new one?
I believe that is a new one. So during a global pandemic, Samuel Banks was like, live for the now. I'm the League of Show Sharers. Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Aaron Marlowe, and Colby Mack. So thank you very much, gender neutral guys, for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. And of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help out, and that's nice. So anyway, everything that you wanted to see is now coming out on Vudu.
Yeah.
What a crazy thing this has become. I mean, they pretty much said this is not going to happen, but it got so far that insiders at Warner Brothers said they were actually discussing the possibility of releasing Wonder Woman 84 on VOD. Like, that's insane that they would even consider it, being that that's a $1 billion movie.
I guess they're probably like, I think that means that their sources are telling them that there is no end in sight for when they're going to be able to reopen movie theaters. And I think it also means that there's probably a good possibility that they will maybe even phase in movie theater openings. This is just speculation on my part, but
that's all we can do. I mean, what was was it May? Was that a May release? Wonder Woman?
No, that was when was it May? That seems too soon.
I think it was because I think
okay.
I felt like Black Widow was April,
yeah,
and then Wonder Woman was May because it was supposed to be November of last year. I thought. And then pushed
the other
it back.
Problem is too, like, I'm on IMDb and I'm looking at releases and I'm wondering, like, are things that have been pulled, do they even have the old release dates now?
I don't know if
they've changed them. I'm just trying to look up Wonder Woman manually to see if maybe they still have the old date slotted in there. Earliest release date, it says, is June 5th.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, and I think their concern is probably also, like, you know, what if these movie theaters open regionally and now you can't do a national rollout?
Yeah.
It gives you two problems. One, you can't have a national rollout, so who knows how that plays out. But two, you know, with a movie like Wonder Woman, with a movie like Black Widow, like these huge movies that have these diehard fan bases, right? You might end up encouraging people from a still infected area to travel an uninfected area so they can see the movie.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I feel like the $20 price point, which is what, so Universal released most of their stuff. They put out The Invisible Man and The Hunt and Emma. Onward, I think, is available for...
It's available for purchase. Now, and then it hits Disney Plus on April 3rd, I believe.
I could see the $20 price point being, I mean, even for me, I was like, that's a little steep. That's for movies that have been out in theaters already. But I mean, if it works and people are willing to,
I think the steep part for me, like, because we looked at Invisible Woman, we had seen it, but we enjoyed it, thought the kids would like it. Invisible teenagers. Man. Sorry, I keep calling Invisible Woman because it's about a woman.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. But our kids are teenagers, or as we call them now, quarantine-agers.
Yeah. Buddy, I feel sorry for you.
Oh, it's fine. I'd rather have this than little kids because, like, these are like, he just sits on his Xbox all day. What do I care? Like, it's
my world. I don't have an Xbox. Yeah.
But it was $20. To rent.
Yeah.
Like, if they had made that $20 to own, I'd have been like, okay, you got me. But $20 so I have it access to it for 24 hours?
Right.
Like,
48,
that's 40. Okay, well, that's a steep hill to climb, you know, for me, personally.
I totally get it. And if you've already seen it, it's one thing. But if you haven't seen it,
right,
four movie tickets for $20 is nothing. So, I mean, if you hadn't already seen it, I think you'd think that was perfectly acceptable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, and since they're missing out on the first run box office of the theater, they've got to try to recoup, because that movie was a movie that would have broken $100 million. So they've got to try to recoup that lost box office first before they just jump into here own it. Otherwise, they're pretty much just skipping over it and going straight to home video, which people would buy anyway. So
yeah.
I get it. And I get it too.
Yeah. Like, but yeah. I just, like I said, it was just hard. It's just a tough pill to swallow, $20 to rent. Like, I would even, if they were like $20 to rent, an additional $5 to own, something like that. Or if I knew they were going to maybe even circle back around and be like, hey, if you rented this, we're going to offer you a discount on owning it if you enjoy it.
That's what we've been saying for a while. I think on the show, I pitched the idea that I think that if you go to see a movie in theaters, they should either give you a free copy to own or $5 or $10 to own on top of that. And it works the exact same way backwards. Like, if you rent these, they should give you a $10 off coupon to buy it. I think that if this becomes mainstream, they're going to have to start incentivizing, like, here's the quote-unquote theater period. Here's where you can rent it at home. And then look out in your inbox for a $10 off coupon when we release it to buy or something like that, right?
That's what they do with digital comics. I mean, when you buy comic books today, at least Marvel, they include the digital code inside the comic. So, like, if you want...
Well, that's what they do with Blu-rays, right?
Yeah, it's the same concept.
Like, absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, you buy the physical copy, you get a digital download. That's why I think that these are going to have to emulate that same exact concept. And I'm even fine, like Tom said, you know, throw a 5 or a 10 on top of it, because I get it. Like, just keep that experience of theater and, you know, rental window, whatever, and then buying it separate, but definitely give a discount to people, because now the lines are even more blurred. People are saying, just like Tom's thinking, which is perfectly right, it's like, I'm renting this VOD. Why would I not be able to just buy VOD? You know, it's the same. I'm not getting a big screen or cushy seats or whatever. You know, I'm not getting that theatrical experience. So why would I be paying separately for the same medium that I'm renting it in? You know?
Yeah. And, you know, when you talk about the price point and how, like, it works out to be not as much money. I mean, I guess you also have to figure out, though, too, that the movie theaters aren't getting their cut.
They're not. Right. So this is a big, big deal for them too. You know, I could see this shutting down a lot of if this is the way they're going to go when things start to reopen and they keep doing this rental thing, is these smaller theaters are going to get, I mean, shut down.
I don't think you'll see movie theaters ever go away.
No,
but I do think that when this is all said and done, you might see fewer movie theaters, and that it'll be more of a special occasion. It won't be as much like, let's go see a movie on Friday. It'll be more like, well, this one's worth seeing in a theater, or it's our anniversary, let's go out for a date.
Isn't that what Spielberg kind of predicted? Like, wasn't that a thing where Spielberg kind of said, he's like, there's going to come a time when going to the movies is going to be like going to the theater? Like, and I mean like the Fox Theater, like going to see a play.
Oh, right. The theatre.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, I put the wrong emphasis in the wrong syllable.
I find it difficult to believe it would ever get quite to that point. But yeah, I do think that you're gonna see fewer theaters, and I think it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be rough for them, but it's gonna be rough for a lot of companies.
Yeah.
For a while. I mean, I you know, my day job, as I've mentioned on here before, is concert promotion. What do I do now? You know what I mean? Like, if this goes on for very long, like when public gatherings are essentially outlawed, or, you know, if they're not outlawed, you know, there's a huge swath of the public that thinks they're a death sentence.
Right.
I mean, you know, try selling a ticket in that environment.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Like you said, for a lot of businesses, we focus on the movie stuff because we're a movie podcast. But
right.
Like you said, we've all got our day jobs. We all have real life that we go back to. And we're seeing friends and family saying that their people are out of jobs and they're trying to figure out how to pay the bills. So, I mean, our hearts go out to everybody that's struggling with this. It is not a movie-centric issue here. But in this industry, at least, theaters are going to be hurt. And I can see a lot of small mom-and-pop type theaters shutting down, because you're talking about a few months at the minimum, probably, that before things get even like just resembling normal. And that's a few months without rent, without income, without, you know, paying all the stuff they have to pay still, even though there's not people there. That's not sustainable for small theaters.
No.
And think about the big theaters, though, too. If this takes off and all this video on demand stuff starts becoming the norm and theaters do become an event, because I thought the same thing, Joe. I thought, wow, going to the theater might be a niche now. But how is that even sustainable? They're going to have to do like a ton of more Fathom live event type things, like specialty things to fill in the gaps, like stuff you can't see on VOD, because otherwise you've got these huge buildings and all these screens, and you can't just open a theater for Avengers, you know? Like, that's not sustainable.
No, it's not. And I think the big theaters, like obviously here is Marcus, AMC, I think they will be okay.
I wouldn't even put Marcus in the safe category, though.
You don't think so?
Big, small chain. Yeah, I mean, you know, their theaters have 20 auditoriums and 14 auditoriums. And what the heck do you do if people aren't going to the movies? That's a lot of space to fill.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I was more, but you're not wrong. I guess I was thinking more of like the boutique theaters you know, here in town. Like, there's, we've got like four or five, like, within like the city limits that are smaller, play like more independent stuff and smaller theaters. And I don't know if they're going to make it, you know, like we have Alamo Drafthouse coming into St. Louis, this fall, I think.
Yeah. But now you got to
asterisk.
Now you got to, no kidding. You got to ask yourself, true. Do we? Yeah.
Yeah, but
what
I mean,
a time to open a theater. I mean, what if you had just opened a brand new theater? I'm sure it happens, and I'm sure a lot of chains have theater openings, but like, what if you had just set out on your dream of opening your own movie theater at the beginning of this year?
Three months in, and I feel bad for the people that thought the 2020 was their year. Like, you know, it's been one thing after another, and now we don't know when this is going to end. You know, like when things are going to go back to quote unquote normal. So, I mean, it could be a month. It could be 2 months. I mean, they have pretty much canceled all sporting events. It's weird that wrestling, here's your wrestling corner, it hasn't canceled anything. They're putting on shows in empty arenas, which is just very odd anyway. Like, you don't realize how much that crowd is needed. To work that
we
show.
Realize it, Joe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. but I mean, like, they, you know, WrestleMania is two weekends away, and
I'm pretty excited that they said they're going to film WrestleMania in an arena that's empty.
Two nights. They're going to they're going to do it, so they're going to tape everything. They're taping everything this Wednesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to play it. I don't know how this is going to work. This is so weird.
But Joe, remember the Oscars without a host and how it was like the biggest ratings or sense or bigger than before when there was no host? Like,
yeah.
I can imagine that people, their curiosity to see a WrestleMania in an empty arena. Like, I mean, I've got the network, but I don't even hardly watch it. But you bet your ass I'm going to be watching to see what this thing looks like.
Go watch. If you can, I don't know where, probably in like the not the hidden gems, but like the in-ring part. Mm-hmm. There was during the Super Bowl, in like 1999, The Rock and Mick Foley did an empty arena match.
Yes, yeah, where he's throwing them in the chairs
it's
and stuff.
It's the weirdest. It's so weird. And now
it's
you're going to get
super
an,
weird.
An entire event like this, a two-day event.
I'm pretty excited. Now, to play devil's advocate on the weirdness of it, I'm going to speak for Jeremy Housewright, who, of course, is a writer for ReviewSTL.com and a friend of the show. And he says that what's the new one?
AEW.
He said that their show was good with no people. Now, is that just him, or what was your opinion
on
that?
No, they put on a good show. Like, they are a different, it's a different company, and they just have a different, like their matches are different and their personalities are different. So, mm-hmm. they somehow figured out how to make that work and still like put on a good show. Cause like they would throw like, the guy that owns that company, I think also owns like a couple buildings so they can go to those buildings and they're smaller venues. And they kind of, you know, they did one thing where they had the good guys on one side of the arena and the bad guys on the other. And they were kind of doing a cheering, you know, back and forth kind of thing. So you had like a semblance of a crowd where WWE was like, we have a performance center in Florida. We'll just do it there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the alternative is for Vince, he's looking at it like, well, we could make no money, we could have no new signups, and we could have people canceling our subscriptions, or we could just do it.
So. Well, he still has TV contracts.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, and you could do a clip show, you know, like you could, in theory, you could put together like a best of something.
But you can only get away with that for so long.
You are right. You are right.
And this isn't like going to be a week. This is going to be months.
Yeah, this is going to be a long time. So it'll be interesting to see like an April 5th and 6th is when that's going to be. So it'll be weird. I feel bad for the guys that like, this was their moment, you know, like there's a guy, Drew McIntyre, who's got a very cool story where he was brought into the company and he was like the next big thing. And then he kind of fell apart and they fired him. And then he had to regroup and get himself back together, not at the company. And now he's back and he wins the Royal Rumble. He's going to the main event and now he has to have this match without a crowd.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
it's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird.
So the movies that did come out on VOD, we talked about them in the league. So if you're in there, you've probably seen some of these. But Universal put all their first run stuff that was just in the theater on VOD this weekend. That's the $20 rental that Tom mentioned. And so that was Emma, that was The Hunt, and that was The Invisible Man. And then we had this surprise outlier, you know, as Disney's stock is dipping and, you know, I mean, it's going way down from where it was 6 months ago, even. And they're sending all their people home, anyone in the international programs at Disney World and all that, since those are closed, they send them back to their country. All the college programs are canceled for the year. All this bad press. And Disney then keeps like dropping, hey, here's Frozen 2 on VOD.
Yeah, here's Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, and then, yeah, here's Rise of Skywalker a week early. And then, out of nowhere, with no previous announcements to this, Disney Pixar's Onward, which was, like, in week three, they're like, yeah, we're going to drop it today, or tomorrow, which was Thursday night. We're going to drop it on Friday to own. So Disney made a play, which, I mean, hats off to them. I bought it. I went ahead and just did it because, you know, we talked about on the show, my family loved Onward. You know, me, my son, my mom, and Katie, my wife, we all went to go see it. And Owen, we snuck him in for free. So, you know, baby didn't have to have a ticket.
Bold move.
Yeah, I know, right? But we loved the movie. And so we saw that it was available to own. And yeah, I know it's coming out on Disney Plus, but whatever. I had Fandango gift cards already. And I'm like, you know what? We loved this movie. You know, we'll get all the behind the scenes stuff when it comes out eventually. And, you know, we want to watch it now. We're all stuck at home. So $19.99 to own in 4K, which is another boost because usually 4K movies are like $25.
Yeah.
So Disney went ahead and is just like all formats, all qualities, $20. And they really one-upped the Universal people because they basically just said, screw you. They came out at the same time as those Universals. And they let you own it. So I think that was a really smart move on their part. And especially with all the kids stuck at home that have been stuck at home to release that type of movie. Well played.
Yeah, I think, too, that like the box office on that thing was so bad when, you know, when it was, what was it, like $12 million in its second week or something?
And
I think they know that, like, regardless, they're going to make more money doing it this way. There's no saving the theatrical box office on that film. So you might as well get people to be like, yeah, I'll grab it right now. I mean, it was a smart play, but on paper, it makes a lot of sense.
I think it makes sense too. Like, since we talk about how Universal kind of did the $20 to rent, Disney can do that, right? Like they have their own streaming service where they can say, yeah, you can buy it right now for $20 in 4K, or you can wait till April 3rd. It's up to, like, we don't care. You know, we've got your money either way. So, like, does Universal have a streaming service on the horizon? Like,
NBC.
NBC.
Oh,
Universal.
Yeah.
They're part of that.
That's Peacock, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Didn't they buy, is that the one that bought Friends for $3 billion or whatever crazy amount they did?
How would NBC buy their own show?
Because, so TV shows aren't typically made, produced by the networks. They're produced by production companies, so even though it might have aired on NBC, wasn't necessarily owned by NBC. It used to be the networks produced their own content, and then similar to vertical integration, they had to stop doing that, where they could only produce a certain percentage because it basically incentivized them to never use a production house because they would get to keep everything, everything, and that's why you've seen some lawsuits that get really convoluted. Like, there was a big one with Bones, the TV show Bones.
Yeah.
And I think the X-Files ran into a suit like this too, to where and I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I might have the details a little fuzzy, but like, they were network produced and then the network basically sold them off to another network for syndication that they owned, and the cast was making the argument of like, you gave yourself a sweetheart deal, and if you had put this out for bid, we would have made more money, and we get a cut of that, so you cost us a lot of money by selling it, you know, to FX instead of just putting out to bid or whatever. And so But that's why you'll see a situation where, you know, and it's also why shows can move networks sometimes, right? Like, because if they're produced by the network, then they're not incentivized to hand that off to another network to continue, mm-hmm. where it's produced by a production house, and then the network says, I don't need any more of these, then they can turn around and be like, anybody else want it? Which is why, you know, and you've seen this throughout the years. I mean, there's many shows that aired on multiple networks that people don't even realize. Leave It to Beaver changed networks, and Get Smart changed networks.
I think we're seeing that now with Netflix, right? Like Lucifer jumped to Netflix, and You, right? Like that was a
Lifetime show that nobody cared about, and then it hit Netflix, and people fell in love with it.
And then Netflix was like, "We'll do another season."
Yeah, Lifetime, I believe, it canceled it, and it did so well on Netflix that Netflix like put it back into production and owns it now. But yeah, so I mean, if you know, but that's also why when HBO bails on a show, nobody can save it because HBO is producing all that and owns it outright. And so there were a lot of people that wanted more Carnival, for instance, and HBO didn't see the value in it. I always thought they should have at least continued it as a novel because it would have really lent itself to that. And the story was really ramping up when they pulled the plug. But Deadwood.
Deadwood did the same thing. Deadwood.
Yeah.
And then they came. It was like, you know what? I guess we'll finish this. Give it a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think the passion for it stayed in place for so long that they had to cave. But not had to, but they saw the value.
Yeah.
Carnival, not so much.
And that was, I think the Deadwood was coming out with, like, coincided with the release of HBO Go.
I think so.
Like that was.
I thought that had
like
been around
draw.
For a while. Yeah,
I think I could be wrong, but I think that's right.
So, like recently, you saw Futurama moved from Fox to Comedy Central. You got Community moved, right, Tom? Didn't that go to Yahoo or something from network?
It did get a season on Yahoo.
Community was on NBC, and then when they finally pulled the plug, Yahoo picked it up in an attempt to launch their streaming platform, which did not work, which then put Community in a weird spot because that final season was technically owned by someone else, I believe, and so it made it hard to like package it back up. But it's hitting Netflix in April, I believe, finally. I think there's five seasons.
Oh, cool.
So, and even the Yahoo seasons will live on Netflix, which is probably exciting because my guess would be hardly anybody saw that sixth and final season on Yahoo because nobody saw it. There was also a show on Yahoo that I didn't get a chance to watch, but people loved. Totally blanking on the name of it, but it was set in space. It was from Paul Feig. Joel Hodgson was on
it.
And it was kind of. I know they were talking about doing a thing that's like The Office in space, but this was kind of like that, but it was on Yahoo, so nobody ever heard of it.
Pigs in Space.
But that, I mean, Arrested Development did that.
Yeah, they jumped to Netflix.
That's a Netflix show now.
Yeah, and then the most recently, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Do you think that it, when like NBC picking up Brooklyn Nine-Nine, do you think that they see the value in it? And I just wonder how often does it happen where the series gets a legitimate second life? Like, I feel like Leave It to Beaver or whatever else there was, like, got a second life on that other channel.
I think the thing is that there's so much content out there and networks are having their stuff being pulled away by streaming because NBC doesn't have Peacock yet. And so that's what they're trying to do is when they're ramping up all this stuff, they're saying, okay, yeah, we'll get Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then those episodes, pardon me, can live on Peacock.
So there's more
content for their streaming. And they saw the outcrying of support from celebrities and all the people that have celebrities as followers, and they saw how much people love Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and NBC had a gap in their programming, and they say, yeah, we're going to get this for streaming later to build our network, and look at all these people that we have that can come over, because right now, because streaming services are killing it, these networks, I think, their numbers are in the toilet, which means they're not selling ads, which is how they stay in business.
Well, Fox paid Vince McMahon a boatload of cash to have the rights for SmackDown and for other stuff, you know, because, like you said, the companies are struggling for live content, like original content that goes on live, sporting events, like anything they can do to get eyeballs on advertisers. The amount of money that they paid Vince McMahon to show SmackDown on a Friday night is insane.
But like, think on a Friday night, how many people do you think are sitting around watching network TV?
Right now, all of them.
Well, yeah, sure.
Well, I don't know about network TV, but that's the thing. If you're watching stuff on a Friday night, you might be watching Netflix, or now you're renting movies, which they obviously didn't predict. But, I mean, network TV is not usually an event. That's why usually they don't put new stuff on the weekends, because people are out doing stuff. But they know wrestling has such a huge audience that they'll get people to watch it. And that was a really smart move, I think, because, I mean, I don't know how their ratings and numbers are doing, but I can't imagine that
I think it's between like a 1.5 and a 2.
That's pretty big for a Friday night.
Yeah, that's usually their Raw usually does about the same, and then NXT is in like the six digits.
Yeah.
So, you know, and all of that's on, I mean, Raw and NXT are on USA, and then SmackDown's on Fox. I wouldn't be surprised if they sell the rights to like WrestleMania, like the real WrestleMania. I say real, but you know what I mean. To treat it like a Super Bowl and let Fox do the Fox Sports thing and treat it like a massive event and see if they can turn it into something, you know, that people still want to check out.
As of last year, I guess this is pretty soon after SmackDown went into effect, but it was drawing almost 4 million people when it first started.
Oh yeah.
And then it looks like it went down to 3 million. So, I mean, that was doing huge numbers. Now, I mean, maybe it's now consistently doing between that 1 and 2, but those are big numbers, especially again for a Friday night when it's like that's activity night. People are going out doing stuff, and they got everybody that now to make it an event. Like, okay, SmackDown's on Friday, so why would we pay to go do whatever? You know, this is going to be our night to stay home and watch TV.
Raw in like 98 was doing 5 and 6s.
Yeah, that was a crazy time when wrestling was like the peak of entertainment.
But you also had fewer entertainment choices. I mean, everything was doing bigger numbers back then.
Oh, yeah, when Friends was pulling in like a 500 or whatever, you know.
Yeah, like to compare the ratings like that are just, it's pointless. Especially if you ever go back and look at ratings for shows from like the 70s and 80s before the rise of cable. I mean, there were shows that were, you know, couldn't make it past 2 episodes that today would be on the cover of every magazine if we still had those. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a crazy world. I mean, everything is just so different. So, I mean,
I wonder how many. I'm wondering how many people are renting their first video via streaming this week.
Oh my gosh,
I bet you there are so many people that have never tried it before that are like, okay, I'm trapped. What now?
Oh, this has to be a huge opportunity for the likes of Vudu and Movies Anywhere and all these different companies that are streaming. It's not only getting them in, but people are seeing the convenience of it, and people that are already using it are going to be using it more. New people are going to adopt it, and like you said earlier, once they see how easy and convenient it is, I can't imagine a lot of people are going to want to go back.
No.
You know, I was in a Facebook group for the other podcast that I have, which is interesting sometimes because, you know, in the real spoilers world, you know, that fan base, if that's not too egotistical to say, those listeners, they've self-selected, right? Like, they know a lot about movies and pop culture and streaming and how to access things. And so in the clip out one, not so much. And somebody posted the other day, yesterday, about Vudu, and there was a lady that like had no clue what it was at all. No idea. And so then the other lady was trying to explain it to her, and she didn't even grasp the concept of that it was a free service, that like you paid for the things you wanted. I know they have some free shows, but that's not
a la carte, if you will.
Yeah. And that she thought like she would have to pay a monthly fee to access Vudu. And so like I was like, Vudu's great, and like they have tons of good sales if you watch their deal page. And but like, no, you don't pay anything. You just go in and pick what you want and you pay for it. And and that, like, was blowing her mind. And
which
so,
is, it's just so weird because that was what we did, right? Like, you would go to Blockbuster, you'd walk around the movie, the store, you'd pick out your movie, you'd go to the front counter, you'd pay to rent it. Like, it's the exact same concept, except you're just not going to a store.
Right.
It's like the exact same concept, but everything that you hated is gone.
Yeah. I mean, I thought people liked me.
Well,
maybe not. That's probably true, yeah.
No, I said it the other day. I always say it online when we're talking about video stores. I miss that experience. It's like, of course, just like with anything, I don't miss all the bad parts. I don't miss late fees. I don't miss having to go out in the 10-degree weather to go return a video or to rent a video. Like, I don't miss all that bad part. But going into the video store and discussing with the Joes of the world, you know, I never went to Joe's video store, but there were plenty of really knowledgeable movie lovers that would work there. And I'd talk to them about movies I liked. They'd recommend stuff I'd never heard of. And of course we have that on the internet and you can read forums, but it's not the same as that in your face, like in front, looking at the boxes and them showing you stuff. And it's definitely a missed, like a communal experience.
It really is.
But you also have all the selection in the world now, right? Like, I mean, it's almost all available, where before you were at the mercy of what that store decided to keep, you know?
And that's the bad part. I remember going to Blockbuster and standing next to that video slot watching it, because when a new release came out, a store would get three or four videos sometimes if you were lucky, and you would have to wait for someone to return it. And instead of just going home or hunting around town, you'd sometimes stand there and a video would plop in through that slot and you'd have them check it like, is that it? Is that it?
But beyond the new releases, yeah, Joe's like, he's breaking out into hives because he's like, oh, like, you were one of those.
Oh my god! Like, it was. Can you check the Dropbox? I just did. Yeah, but I thought I heard something drop in there. Can you go look? Yeah, sure. It's not like I have a million other things I have to do. I will go look for your copy of Titanic on VHS. Oh, well, neither one of them are rewound. Now you have to wait till I rewind them both.
Well, you should have been able to know if the Titanic one dropped because it's so much heavier because it was
two
tapes.
Right.
You're like, oh no, that's clearly the sound of one VHS tape dropping, not two. But but you know, beyond waiting for the new releases, like, there's also like the catalog stuff that would be difficult to find for certain movies, you know?
That's why you got Netflix. Netflix was invented to find stuff that you could not find. I mean, not only was it convenient, it came to your house, but remember, Netflix had warehouses upon warehouses of old movies, stuff that video stores would never carry, weird stuff, international stuff. Like, Netflix made that like their sole business model of convenience and selection. And then Blockbuster, I mean, to be fair, to give them credit, Blockbuster did that thing where you could then get them in the mail and trade them in store. I did that almost the entire time it was an option. It was great.
If they would have stuck with that, I think they would still be around. Like, that's
a genius.
It's a genius move, and they somehow found a way to muck it up. Like, they just kept futzing with it. Like, that's what they just kept. They just couldn't be happy with the way it was working, because not only are you getting them with the mailers, but then you're getting them to come into the store, get a movie. But and just like a movie theater, the key was to get them to buy a soda or some candy or popcorn.
Those combos, $5 for a popcorn, two sodas, a candy.
Yeah.
I remember all that stuff. And that really is a shame, because that was one of my favorite things. I could get the selection and I could watch them that day, turn around, get a free rental exchanged, and then my next movie would get sent in the mail. And and you'd always, I could rent a game while I was there. I could buy a pre-owned thing while I was there.
Yeah.
And then also, didn't they not buy Redbox or not buy Netflix?
Netflix. It wasn't going to work.
Blockbuster didn't buy Netflix, and now look at it being the like number one multimedia company in the world.
Right, making their own movies.
I will say that, like, while I love having the selection that things like Vudu and Amazon Prime offer, and I don't want to give them up, I will say part of me misses that joy of discovery when you've been looking for something and you finally find it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't get that anymore. Like, I mean, you don't get it in anything, you know, and I know it's a first world complaint, but, like, you know, like, even going to the comic book store, right, when you're looking for a certain issue and you've been hunting, trying to fill in gaps, and you finally find it, it's like, there's just, like, a sensation of that was just very gratifying. And now it's like, well, you just go on eBay and you buy it and you're done.
Right. And yeah. it's the comic book version, like you said, like flipping through a long box bin and you happen to find that one issue that completes the run.
And maybe not even worth anything. It's just you've got a 600 issue run of Batman and you're missing two issues in the 300s and there's one for $4. It's and you're just like, yes, now there, it's complete. Where now you just go on eBay.
Yeah, it's fun and I get that, but you would never trade all the benefits in the world for that because no one has the time for that. It's like that may have been fun to do, but then also remember how much gas and how much time and how much driving and how much disappointment there was. So you're only getting that high because of all the lows. But now I think all the joy that we get by saving time and money, even if you're not getting that rush instantly, but in the back of your head, you're saving so much time and money that you're really happier with this method, right?
I will say, though, it makes collecting less fun. Like, it makes me less likely to want to collect things because I'm like, well, they're all out there if I really want them, and now I don't.
If I go to mycomicshop.com and I just happen to, search Batman 542, well, there it is, and it's over.
Right.
Like, that's
I agree. Yeah, I don't collect things anymore. I'm done with it. Like, I've gone to digital. I just looked at my Vudu. I'm up to 599 movies owned on there. I don't know what your number's at, Tom, if you even looked recently.
I haven't. I'll have to go look.
Yeah, you have to look. But so I'm up to almost 600, and that means that sure, I bought physical stuff and a lot of them came with codes, but I've almost solely transitioned into just buying digital. The thing is, as you get older, you want to declutter, you want to get rid of stuff, as your family grows, your space around you closes in, and now I've got less shelves, less, new movies taking up space, and there's, you get them earlier, you get them 2 weeks earlier on Vudu. There's so many benefits to it, and a lot of times they're on sale, like, because there's no middleman, because the movie studio does not have to pay Target or does not have to pay Best Buy or whatever retailer you're buying from. They can cut the price down. They can do new releases at like $10 sometimes to own, very early on. And, Vudu maybe takes a small percentage, but it's not whatever the markup was of the retailer. And, so it's like win-win. You get them early. They don't take up space. And I don't know. It's just the collecting for me is kind of just dwindled out.
So here's the issue I have with that.
Just real quick, because Kevin. Yeah. Hang on. Just because Kevin asked before we get too far afield from that. I have 578 movies.
And, catching up.
But I have 35 TV series.
Okay. I have 19 TV. So we're about even.
We're neck and neck.
So I still buy physical media, but for Scream Factory and Shout Factory, like those catered companies,
mm-hmm. curated
companies, where it's just like, because if they would give you all of the stuff that comes on, like, because those guys do some insane work on those special editions.
Did you pre-order The Wizard?
I did.
Next week, Blu-ray.
Yes, I'm pretty excited. But like on the, I go to the Escape from New York Shout Factory version. They've got, no, I'm sorry, They Live. They've got an audio commentary with Roddy Piper and John Carpenter. So they've got like all of these different options. Like it's very, if you love the movie, they have all kinds of stuff for you. And I think and that isn't available digitally. Like those versions, mm-hmm. those Shout Factory or Scream Factory, Arrow, Vinegar Syndrome, all those guys, they don't put their stuff on digital. Like they're curated to the collector. So those are the ones that I still buy. If it's Avengers or whatever, I usually don't buy it. Like I just wait till it's streaming and then I watch it. But those other ones I still buy. Like I just bought Nighthawks because that's a thing that I own now.
I saw that and I was real close to pulling the trigger on Nighthawks.
It's so good. Like I vaguely remember. I remember the last scene of that. It's the only scene of that movie I remember.
Oh sure, when they're in the sky cab thing or whatever.
Oh
it is.
No, when Schwarzenegger's in a wig or not Schwarzenegger, when Stallone's wearing the wig and like turns around on Rutger Hauer.
Oh yeah.
That's okay. The last thing I remember about. It's the only thing I remembered about that movie. But it is
that's not Lady Hawk.
No, No. Seriously, Kevin, go find it.
I've never heard of this movie.
It's Rutger Hauer, Sylvester Stallone, Billy Dee Williams.
And it's like a down and dirty cop movie from like the late 70s, 79, 80,
I think it's the early 80s.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, interesting.
That's funny that Rutger Hauer's in Lady Hawk and he's in Nighthawks.
Well, he had a thing.
You know. For Hawks?
Yeah, for Hawks.
All right.
He was going to be the coach in the Mighty Ducks, but then they said no. They went for that Lane Smith role, but he said no.
Well, they were going to be the Mighty Hawks, and then they changed it on him.
They
and...
play the Hawks, remember? He was going to be the coach for the bad guys.
Oh, no way. He was
I made that up.
I thought he was going to be like an Ivan Drago type enemy for the Mighty Ducks.
Oh no.
Did you ever see Wanted Dead or Alive?
I don't think so.
It's a Rutger Hauer movie.
Maybe. No.
I think it is. The movie's like eh, but the last scene in the movie, so good. So good.
Interesting.
Well, add it to the list.
Yeah.
Well, so it's weird out there. Everything's weird. And we know that everyone's experiencing stuff. And movies, for the most part, we know are not like... People don't think of movies as a necessity, or maybe people aren't as hardcore about them as we are, but you also have to realize that the industry is a $15 billion a year industry. And so when we're letting movies just pass us by and not be released and we're not going to the theater anymore, it may not mean a lot to us, but just like you're saying, oh my gosh, my friends and family are losing jobs at the retailer they work at or the small mom and pop store. These movie theaters, a lot of them are small businesses, and they at first, I think I mentioned it last week, but they predicted that like a couple months ago the movie industry might lose $5 billion. Now they're saying it might lose $20 billion, and reported by Variety just yesterday, I guess it's the head of the National Association of Theater Owners. He said that if Congress doesn't pass this $1 trillion rescue bill and they're not a part of it, that he says in quotes, the situation is dire. Overnight, we went from an industry that makes $15 billion a year, $11 billion in ticket sales, and $4 billion in concessions. That's how much those are worth, to one that's not going to make a penny for 3 or 4 months. And they're basically saying that they think that the industry is just going to implode if they don't get some kind of bailout.
Where does that line stop, though? You know, like I hear them. I get it. But like, where does the bailout line stop? Because that's kind of one of the situations we got ourselves into in 2008, you know, and we're still paying for it.
It's hard to say. I mean, how much is it worth? You know, I mean,
that's a great question. Yeah.
Who selects what industries? Because like I just said, some people might be like, oh, movies. Like, I don't go to the movies anyway. It's weird. I think we're the weird ones. We're the anomalies that go every week, because a lot of people go to the movies 3 or 4 times a year. And that may be heavy for some
people. I think we're the anomalies now. I don't think you roll this thing back, 15 years? I think the number of people that went to the theater, my grandparents went to the theater every week.
Well, that's kind of like TV ratings, like Tom said. I mean, yeah, the times have changed certainly because of all the access we have. But still, I think once a week is heavy for most people. I'm not saying there, of course, are outliers, but, you know, that's a lot of times. But anyway, my point is, you know, we think of it as a normal thing, but a lot of people are just like, whatever, the theater's closed, I didn't go anyway, I'll wait for them to come out on video like I always did, and I'll watch all my movies or my shows on Netflix and all that. But, you know, to these people, to the theater owners, to everyone part of the National Theater Association, to their employees, like, this is their livelihood. So it's hard because you don't want to ever discount anyone. And I know we're thinking about them, but a lot of other people are probably just like, movie theaters, that's not essential. But again, how do you decide? I mean, one, it's their livelihood. And two, think about how important the arts are in entertainment to keeping you sane in these times. Like, if we're all quarantined and didn't have anything to watch, like, I know some people would be like outraged at having to read a book. Like, look at all the access we have to media, multimedia.
Well, and even with books, like, at least now, in a quarantine previously, 10 years ago, you'd have been, it's whatever books you have.
Yeah, right? No kidding. Right? Now you hop on your Kindle or your iPad and you go to Amazon.
You can get whatever book you want.
A plethora of digital stuff to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's becoming so commonplace that now Joe can even use words like plethora.
It's paying off.
We're reaping dividends from the rise of Kindles.
We haven't even touched upon We haven't even touched upon the other industries, though, but like the ones that are close to us, bookstores and comic book stores. I mean, comic book stores were struggling before. I can't imagine that many
are still open.
Here's the thing for your local comic book store. If you're a comic book guy, like a lot of us are, that listen to this, and you know your comic book store can ship to you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them that are.
And I get mine shipped and have for years. But if you're spending enough, and at most stores, they don't even charge it for shipping. Like it's gotten cheap enough that they'll do a once a month shipment, but they'll still ship them to you. So reach out to your local comic book store and ask about shipping options. I'm sure they will be very excited that you did, and ask if can I just have all my books shipped once a month, and then that way they can still provide you those things, you know?
The shop, one of the local shops here was actually doing a delivery service where they would deliver your weekly pull to you at your house. And I was like, I got to tell you, that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, cruise around town. Yeah. They rent buy one of those Ford, boxy trucks or whatever, fill it up with comic books and just go, place to place, set up,
and
get up your
MapQuest. Get yourself a square and let them swipe their card, It's the shop that actually I'm switching to because my other shop is closing. Mm-hmm. Is one of the older shops in the city, and they like their draw is they have a ridiculous back issue selection.
Right.
So you can just, even if you're not a weekly reader and you're still a collector, you can walk back, walk through there and find, they have Silver Age stuff, gold, not even Golden Age, maybe some Golden Age, but like Silver and Modern. They've got all kinds of stuff. So
do they have Patina Age?
I don't know. I'll give you their number. You should call and ask.
All right.
but like that's, they have more than just current books, which is always, kind of a big draw for collectors.
Yeah. Well, I guess since we don't have a box office report, we don't really have a official way to wrap this up like we normally do. So I'm just going to call it.
So this is the first time I haven't had my abacus at the ready?
That is true. Well, you have your abacus at the ready. There's just nothing to count.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, you know what? There's Thursday box office numbers.
Is there really?
Do it, Tom. Introduce it. We have to do this.
Okay. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom. And before they shut everything down, our last box office numbers, maybe ever, probably not, but the last ones we have for now, Onward made $33,000.
Oh,
the Invisible Man. Yeah, The Invisible Man made $21,800. Bloodshot made $18,500. We didn't even mention Bloodshot's out Tuesday, so when you're listening to this, it will be coming out. I don't know if they said to own or not yet. I Still Believe made $15,700. These are in thousands. Call of the Wild made $14,600. The Hunt made $13,000 before it hit VOD. Sonic the Hedgehog, which comes out in a couple weeks, made $9,000. The Way Back made $6,000, also coming out on VOD soon. Bad Boys for Life, which is also getting early VOD, because this is what they're doing now, $5,600 on day 63. And rounding out the top 10 is Fantasy Island with another $4,700 in week 30 or in day 35.
Oof, man.
Uh-oh.
You got to say your closing line.
So, and that's the box office.
Thank you. So, well, I guess that's it for this one. We will go around the virtual table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. That's pretty much the only place you can find us now. Find us online, right? Find me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Be sure and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out our Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers. So coming up on the next episode, we will have a co-video recovery.
So good. I think we're going to be doing a bunch of these for a while.
Yes. So get used to these. The 0% project continues. We will tackle the Andy Kaufman, not a classic, Heart Beeps.
You may have your picking of movies may be revoked.
The whole point is to pick bad movies on this one.
Congratulations.
Well, we didn't warn Joe, but everyone else, until then, you've been warned.
And now, direct from his worldwide tour, we proudly present the one and only Leonard Catskill.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and germs. It's great to be here. Of course, at my age, it's great to be anywhere. But seriously, folks, I'm here to tell you about this new movie. It's called Hot Peeps, and it's about me and my pals. Here's Val Kilmer.
Turn your head around.
I don't want to say he's dim-witted, but he makes an electric toothbrush look like a genius.
Look, the fire. My function? To serve as companion and valet. Being programmed for charm was probably an extra expense.
This is Aqua Calm. She was Popular Mechanics Playmate of the Month for June 1994. Get a load of those components. Wowie wow.
Oh, thank you.
And then there's Philco. He's a great kid. But he had no sense of humor until he met me.
I haven't been this happy since the time I bought a pet skunk. My wife said, why do you expect to keep it? I said, under our bed. She said, what about the smell? And I said, he'll have to get used to it, just like I did. Now, the problem is, we're all being chased by this overgrown squad car named Crime Buster.
Don't get excited. Don't get excited.
Remain stationary for a computer check. While waiting, you may enjoy a brief musical interlude.
He's a cross between Darth Vader and a Sherman tank. I've heard of party crashes, but this is ridiculous. But believe me, folks, this movie's got a lot going for it. There's action, adventure, romance, raccoons, even people.
Hey, kid, behave yourself.
Oh, yeah, and I'm in the movie, too. But seriously, folks, don't forget to see Universal's new movie, Hot Peeps. And it's coming for you-know-when. And speaking of Christmas...
Andy Kaufman, Bernadette Peters, in Hot Peeps, coming this Christmas. It's holiday entertainment for everyone.
So I says, I don't care who you are, Fatso, get those reindeer off my roof.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.